Hey, Startup Hustle listeners, before we get into today's episode, I've got some exciting news to share. If you've enjoyed the insights and stories here at Startup Hustle, you're going to love what we have in store at our brand new podcast called Product Driven. I've always described myself as a product guy first, entrepreneur, software engineer, but really a product guy. I love building products. Many people struggle, though, with how to take a product idea and build a tech product, while software engineers struggle to understand the business side of things and they just don't see the big picture. My new podcast, Product Driven, is about that gap between business and the tech side of building software. It's designed for startup founders, tech leaders, software engineers, and anyone who loves tech and startups. Thank you for being part of this community. Enjoy this episode of Startup Hustle, and please subscribe to Product Driven in your podcast app, and you can also check it out on YouTube. Thank you so much.
And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle, a podcast for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. If you want to start, own, or build a business, then you're in the right place. We bring you the real truth about what it's like to take something from concept to launch. From growth, innovation, experience, failing, or winning big, we've got you covered. So let's get down to business with another episode of Startup Hustle, brought to you by Fullscale.io. And we're back for another episode of Startup Hustle. Matt DeCourcy here with Matt Watson. Hi, Matt.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Oh, I'm just trying to figure out, I mean, honestly, why would I choose you?
Yeah, why did you choose me as a podcast host?
I didn't. Did I?
Or did I choose you?
I did, kind of. Well, I mean, there was a lot of different reasons, and maybe that's what we'll talk about, but we're here and we have arrived at episode 31 of our 52-part series about how to start a tech company, and this is a good subject to talk about. Now, before we do that, Matt, we're going to actually move in true startup fashion. We're going to have a little mid-game pivot, and this we will be publishing these episodes on Fridays rather than Wednesdays.
Okay.
Yeah, just because. Just because there's reasons, which I don't need to get into. Now, one good reason to do anything is that today's episode of Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. And you know, Matt, a lot of people, a lot of companies and startups and tech companies have chosen us as their tech services provider at Fullscale. And there's a lot of reasons for that, some of which we'll talk about in the show, but you know, we've talked so much about why you do this, why you do that, how to go to market, blah, blah, blah.
You had me really quickly and affordably.
I know. You are cheap and easy. I mean, that's right. So
hiring software developers is a nightmare.
Well, it can't be. I thought we got off track there. You are still cheap and easy, though.
True.
Yeah, I know. I've known you for years. So, but now with that, why do people choose to do business with other people? And you know, you can have a great go-to-market strategy. You can have good messaging and branding. But in the end, there are some things that can get you off track in a hurry that make people not choose you. And there are a lot of reasons that people do. So, I mean, why do you choose to do business with people?
Well, in the context of a startup, you know, it's even different, right? Because you're taking the risk of doing business with some new company you've never heard of, right? And so as the old saying goes, right, you don't get fired for buying Cisco or IBM or whatever, but why should I buy something from you and take risk when I could buy the same thing from name large market leader in the segment, right? Like, that's the challenge.
Yeah, for me, there's a couple of things that come in, you know, well, and I'm not going to lie. I mean, some of it, if it's an interpersonal thing, like, do I feel like I will like doing business with you?
Sure.
You know, because I trust just, you. If you're around me enough, you'll hear me say that life's too short to do business with and around people that you don't like. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot to be said about that. Other things like, you know, what's your expertise? I have no problem with giving somewhat unproven things a shot. My leash for my leash might be a little shorter in those cases, and then a value. But, you know, there's a lot of different reasons that people choose to do things and choose to not to do things. And one of the things we were mentioning with Full Scale, and a lot of people have chosen to do business with us, well, some of that had to do with the first talking point, which is like, people give consideration to like, how long have you been doing something, or what's your level of success? So yeah, with Full Scale, you and I used a model of our own entrepreneurship and created something that we like to say is by founders for founders. We started by solving the problems that we felt that other people like. We were our first clients. So we said, let's solve the problems that make sense for us. And like, one of them was, you know, a lot of our competitors wanted you to only talk to like a project manager and stuff like that. And we said, there's no value there. Let's simplify this and give people a direct line of sight to their team. And we'll give them some advice about where we've won, where we've lost, and what they do with it's up to them. But that was a direct, you know, effect of like the question of like, how long have you been building or leading or doing something successfully? It's like, well, IBM, they've been around forever. So that's why you don't get fired for hiring IBM.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. You touch on like being credible and trustworthy, been doing this for a while, but also hitting exactly at the talking points of the problems, you know, they have, right? Like, we know you've done offshore development before. We know you've had this problem, and this problem, and we aim to solve those problems, right? Immediately getting to the pain points that they have and how we are different and how we solve them, along with being credible and all those other things, immediately helps you out.
So one of the things that people that aren't highly seasoned at selling stuff often get backwards on is objections. So, you know, whenever you're trying to sell something or get someone to do business with you, they will often have simple rebuttal questions. And these are known as objections. Like, they're objecting to saying yes for different reasons. They may need clarification about what the service is, or the offering, or the pricing, or some of it. And people that aren't experienced with sales often confuse this. They're like, oh my gosh, this person just, they're never going to buy. They have so many questions. That's actually a good thing. It's when people don't have any questions is almost usually when they don't buy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my experience. Yeah.
If I'm totally uninterested, I want off the call right now. Yep. I'm not going to ask any questions. I'm just done.
And for those of you listening, if you ever hear Watson just completely drop off of any of our past shows, that's why. He just, he's like, I don't like this topic. I'm out of here. You've never done that, actually. But no, but with objections, you'll find that the more people you talk to, they become like the echo that I'm always talking about. Right. Like, and when you hear that echo, you can structure your messaging around kind of like Matt was alluding to a few minutes ago. Hey, look, at Full Scale, I know exactly what the problems are that people are going to have. And it's oftentimes related to communication, reliability, or quality. So address those right away, and no one even needs to ask. You know, like, if you know that it's overwhelmingly going to be a question or something that comes up, then begin to shape your messaging around why you are providing benefit. And I think really when it comes to why are you going to choose someone, what are the benefits that I get of doing business with you? Not just the features of what you're selling, how does it benefit me?
Well, and when it's an early stage company like this, kind of the topic we're talking about, usually it's they're solving a industry problem that nobody else has solved, or they're solving it in a different way or a new way, or they've created a whole new segment of things, right? Like, oh, I didn't know I needed this thing called Slack, but they've created this thing that's a whole new segment, and everybody is buying products like this, and maybe I need to buy a product like this because you're in a new segment. And that's way easier, by the way, than being like, I do exactly what Slack does, but just slightly better. Like, that's way more difficult. You want to be the market leader in that situation.
Well, we'll continue talking about Slack, because we provide a Slack account to over 200 people that work at Full Scale.
Yeah.
Now, theoretically, I could use Google Chat.
Yep.
Because I give them a Gmail too, but it's not the same. It doesn't do what I need it to do and how I want to do it. And like, I mean, and that I can send a message from one person to another, but we use Slack. I use Slack for a hell of a lot of stuff. I mean, it's a connectivity hub and a notification hub that allows me to not have. So what's the benefit of it? I can centralize communication and integrate different things to create communication within Slack that either make me not have to ask someone, did you do this or is it done? Or something along those lines. And that's the benefit for me, is I don't have to engage in a shitload of redundant conversations. That's why someone does business with you.
Yeah.
Because that's the benefit.
And part of it though is, if you're the vendor on the other side, you're creating a product for a new industry, market, and space. And you're going to companies that you know have that problem and you have a solution for it. And some of them may not even realize they have the problem yet, but you've solved a problem that you know that people have. And you don't even necessarily have any competition, or your competition isn't direct, it's indirect, which is a great place to be. And as a startup, that's where you want to be. You want to be creating something new, not just necessarily competing with, you know, other competitors and doing exactly the same thing they are. That is way more difficult.
So some of this also comes down to some basic buyer psychology. And, you know, you mentioned, so one of the reasons that people buy stuff, a really popular one, is safety. So safety is also like peace of mind. So fear, like you mentioned, and that, fear and risk, or mitigating it, right? So like, we both have kids. Before I bought a new car, the question is it safe? Is it safe? Right. And those are things that come to pass. Now, if you have a startup or you're a service company or any of that, like, that's the thing. Like, do I get peace of mind with what you're going to provide? Because the thing is you can be cheaper, but if it's a pain in the butt to use your anything, they're not going to stick around. You can't really, without peace of mind, nothing else has much flavor. It's just that simple. So when people are going to choose you, like we mentioned, Full Scale helps you build a software development team quickly and affordably. Like, those are things, like you said it, you got my attention. I'm into that because I'm busy doing other stuff. So can I do it quickly? And does it make sense within my price structure? If the answers to those are yes, you have a clear path of doing business with someone. Because the last thing I want as a founder or an entrepreneur is to feel like I'm going to spend all of my time messing around or being distracted by your shitty service model.
Well, and I think part of what you're describing just boils down to being easy to do business with, right? I mean, what's great is an early
reliable.
As an early startup, a lot of times you've got lots of inefficiencies, you've got lots of problems, but you're in business and you've got customers, right? But you may internally have lots of inefficiencies in your process and procedures, but your customers don't need to know that either, right? Like, you can make it easy for your customers to do business with you, even if it's a nightmare for you internally, until you grow to a point that you can improve those internal processes. But the key is making it easy for your customer to sign up for your product and buy it. And even at Full Scale, that's something that we work at on a weekly basis, is making it easier for our customers to find the resources we have available and tell them we have new resources and improve all that. Now, we can be in business without those things, but we want to try and be easier and easier to work with. And anytime you're selling a product to somebody, the last thing you want to do is burden them, as you said, with a lot of things. So the more you can do and say, look, we're going to help you through this. We're going to train. We're going to consult. We're going to help do this. We're going to help set it up. We're going to hold your hand. All those things help a lot. And that also, I think, reduces some of their, you know, fear of doing business with an early stage company. If you're telling them that you're going to hold them hand and give them great customer service, because I can tell you right now, one of the biggest differentiators you can have with your competitors is your customer service.
Yeah. And that's a subcategory of reliability. Because here's the thing as well, is like, if you are really reliable, then why, you might not even need customer service. Like, set it and forget it. That's the goal on so many. You mentioned that you like software platforms that do boring stuff.
Yeah.
They need to be reliable.
They need to work. They're like,
because if they aren't, like, so I used to own a high volume event ticket brokerage. And with that, we had a sophisticated point of sale and a bunch of different stuff that was involved with aggregating a whole bunch of workflow automation. But I'll tell you right now, if any bit of you began to believe that it wasn't reliable, your mental state crumbled. Because those things in your business not being reliable, they create a headache. You have to go and clean up after them. And if you don't get that mentality out of your head, you don't find the value in it. So it really, if you are selling a business to business product, why are people going to do business with you? They want to know that they're going to save time. They're going to save money. They're going to experience some simplicity in doing that as well. Because if it's as difficult to do the other task as it is to do the one you're trying to create efficiency around, there's no point, right?
Well, and speed is such a critical piece of this. We talk about customer service. An example of this is from Stackify. Inevitably, a lot of people would download our product and try it, and they'd run into something, they'd have a question, right? It's pretty normal. Like, I installed it, but how do I do this or whatever? Our SLA, our internal SLA goal was to respond to any question within 1 hour. And 99% of the time we did that. Most of our competitors would take 1 to 2 business days. So if they're trying our product or a competitor's product and they get stuck, they might download our product instead and try ours because they got stuck on the other one. We responded quickly, got them up and running. They saw value in it and they buy. So much of it is speed. And when people have questions or problems, you want to help them as fast as possible, because ultimately they may decide to just use a different vendor or ultimately just get distracted and go work on something else.
You know, I found over the years that there are a ton of situations where, okay, look, the idea that we all do a perfect job every time, all the time, is silly, right?
We're human.
Now, when someone's upset or not happy or whatever, that exponentially amplifies the longer you take to just have simple communication with them. Like you mentioned, like getting back to someone quickly does wonders. That's back to peace of mind.
Well, and I can honestly say some of the customers we've had problems with that we fix their issues extremely quickly actually become some of our best customers, because they have so much more faith and trust in us versus the ones we never hear from. Like, they just disappear one day. But the ones that we've kind of like been through the battle with together and solved their problems and built that, you know, relationship with, actually strengthens it, which sounds weird because like they have problems, but actually it kind of makes them become an even better customer.
Right. Right. And those are people that appreciate the peace of mind. So, yeah. Okay. I mean, some of this is also, like we mentioned, convenience. Depending on what it is that you're offering, I'm a big fan of quality onboarding. If it's difficult to do, just to get set up to do business with you, people aren't going to do it. Twitter is infamous for having the world's fastest and easy onboarding. Like, it's literally like click, boom, you know. And then you look at like Amazon, which has over the years evolved into like a just push here and it's convenient. How much stuff have you bought on Amazon that you wouldn't have bought somewhere else if you clicked it? And then they're like, now you need to set up an account. And then you have to like type in a bunch of shit, and then they're like, verify your email, you know, and you go through like 94 steps on the way to like buy, like, honestly, where it should be quick.
Honestly, it's sort of the opposite, right? It's the reason I don't buy stuff other places. I already have an Amazon account. So within like 2 clicks, I can buy virtually almost anything. Or if I go to walmart.com or target.com or whatever the hell it is, I got to sign up for an account. I got to do this. I got to do that or whatever. All this crap, right? Where Amazon just makes it so easy to just keep buying more and more and more and more.
But it's convenience.
Yeah.
Because it's fast. Absolutely. And it's easy to buy. And that makes people buy.
And I mean, compare prices. I just go to Amazon and buy.
So one of the things too is, in some cases, you have a premium service offering. So Full Scale's like that. So at Full Scale, and we were just talking about this before we started recording, we hire 1 out of 40 applicants, which means you're paying us to go through 39 people, that aren't a good fit for you to help you find the one that is. And go ahead.
I was going to say, so we joked earlier about how hard it is to hire software developers. And so we were the crazy people that decided that was like our entire company. Was to hire software developers.
But here's the thing, Matt, is it was a problem worth solving.
Yeah, absolutely.
And for those of you that are listening, you know, Matt and I own Full Scale. We're 50-50 partners there, but that business did not start like that. And it didn't take long for us to quickly realize that there was a big problem that needed to be solved amongst people like ourselves that want good quality, reliable people to be on your team to build your software and hopefully stay in that seat for a while.
Yeah.
So that's a problem we went through solving. And we knew that if we wanted the best people, that we were going to have to charge more because they were going to want to get paid more, and rightfully so. Yeah. But how do we go about determining who's any good? And so like people will sometimes ask me, they literally say, well, you're a little bit more expensive than the competitor. Tell me why. Well, that's why, because we are literally hiring 2.5% of people that apply. Like, could we hire more than that? Probably, but we don't, because our model is a premium service offering.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people that's what they want. Give me the best. And I will tell you that the clients that want the best and are ready to go for it, and they're the best clients we have, because they appreciate the quality, they help push the quality, and then the service providers we have want to be in that environment. So it works out really well. It's a win for them. It's a win for us. It's a win for the, you know, client and our employees. So that's, I mean, that's a great thing. And if you have if you have a premium service offering, just admit it. Say why. Like, don't be afraid to say, I literally say exactly this, Matt. I say, look, we won't be the cheapest, but we're going to be the best, you know, and that's, if you have to iterate through that. So when I owned the ticket business, occasionally someone would buy like center row 3 Taylor Swift, like 4 days before the show. And they would be expensive tickets because they were a premium. And then people would get it and they'd be like, why is the face value on this so much lower? What am I paying for here? You're paying for me to get up and buy that for you 4 months ago on the day that you forgot. Right?
You couldn't have got it anyway.
And I would tell people that and they'd be like, you know what? You're right. Thanks. But that's the thing. So sometimes in that case, like that was a premium service that we offered for that very reason. It was also convenient. And, you know, here's the thing is I'm pretty sure that nowhere in the Constitution are American citizens guaranteed to have front row center tickets available at face value the day of 2 days before a show, you know? So like, I mean, that's just a simple thing. So if you want quality and you have quality, I don't think you should cheapen it. Like, you know, like I'm not a big fan of just discounting in general. Like, set a fair price that's good for you. It's good for the client, and they take it or they don't.
Well, and how much money you should charge for your product and your pricing model and all that is probably its own episode. But the key is, it could be more about the value you provide, right? And not necessarily the cost that you have to provide it, right? You know, it could be like, hey, you could eliminate 5 employees with our solution, even though it costs us $1 to provide you the solution. It's super valuable to you because you're going to reduce your labor by X or whatever. Right. So it sometimes it's like what you're charging should have a super high value based on the value it provides. That's the key.
So let's talk about trust for a minute, because I think like trust is an interesting thing, and it's quite possibly what we should have started the episode talking about, because we kind of did without using the word trust. We talked about reliability. We talked about being established or having expertise or maybe a premium quality about something. But if you can't build trust or appear to be trustable or reliable in that regard, it's game over. Well, would you ever do business with someone you didn't trust? Because I wouldn't.
No. And it starts with one thing you always joke about, right? If somebody gives you their business card and they've got like a Gmail account and they don't have like their own website and domain and all that, right? Yeah. And so some of it's all perception, right? Like you've got to look like a real company that is trustworthy, even though you may just be like you and a couple buddies that have this little startup. It's so much about your reputation and do you look like you have your shit together and it's a professional business or not, right? And part of that all comes back to the trust.
And you're talking about when I say you need to look like you're in the business of whatever it is that you said, that you're saying that you do.
Right.
You know, and that's, I mean, I run into that. Like, it's funny. I occasionally like just, you run into like a human and you're like, well, what's your, I don't have a website. I've got a Facebook page. I'm like, dude, it's 2021, man. Like that shouldn't be, it's costing you business. Mm-hmm. If you don't have that stuff, but yeah, well, and that is that first impression. And like, if you can't present yourself well to clients or prospects from the jump, then why would you expect that they're going to want to do business with you?
Well, and there's other things to talk about in regards to this too. And in some cases, it's the reason why people won't do business with you. And especially if you're a young startup and you expect to go sell to enterprise type accounts, they may expect you to have different kinds of credentials or certifications and things like that that you may not have. For example, are you SOC 2 certified, which is like this giant mess to go through from an IT perspective and your hosting? Or are you GDPR certified? Like all this different kinds of crap, which GDPR is for data privacy. All that kind of crap can keep people from doing business with you. And a lot of it comes back to the trust. Like big enterprises are not going to do business with you unless you have gotten through these hurdles. And those hurdles, by the way, are huge nightmares. And some of them you should thank our governments for. That just makes it harder to do business.
And the thing is you're not going to do much to change those standards.
No.
So don't spend a bunch of time bitching about it. Just adhere to them and know that those are the obstacles. I mean, really, in the end, your goal, if you want to sell something, is to get, you need to eliminate, get around, do whatever, all the obstacles in between you and the cash register. Now, if you are self-creating those obstacles and you have the ability to move them or remove them, do it. That's back to that like thing. So there's a few things related to trust that, and I think that this is a key thing. So like, you know, and I'm kind of just reading these as, you know, suggested things, but say what you're going to do and then do what you say. And, you know, like that's the thing, is it's really easy to depreciate trust. Now, if you lose someone's trust, it is 10 times harder to get it back than, well, probably 100 times, if not more, harder to get it back than it was to just lose it in the first place. I see a lot of people mess up in basic trust relationships by doing things like being late, saying, oh, sure, I'll reply to you this afternoon. And then it comes 3 days later. And like these people notice.
You passed on a vendor for Full Scale because of that, right? They said they'd like, oh, we'll get back to you on Monday. And like a week later, you're like, nobody ever replied. I'm moving on.
Well, and in that particular case, I had also, when I did like a kind of an initial client interview, I mentioned that we had had problems with prior service providers when it came to communication and general reliability. Yeah. So telling me that, well, it was a Friday and then we would have what we needed on Monday, a full Friday later, still didn't have what I wanted. And that kind of brings me to the next thing when it comes to trust, like communicate. So like frequent, honest communication. So Matt, it's funny because I've had this discussion about Full Scale with other people at Full Scale and around, and some people like, I don't like sales. I was just telling our staff, it's like, I don't even feel like I'm in sales at Full Scale, even though I technically am, because all I do is show up to a meeting and I say, this is what we can do. This is how we're going to do it. We will do it. And this is how we'll support that. And you know, some of that is like, if I don't think we can, I will just tell you. And you need to not bullshit people, because the clients and the accounts and the relationships that you don't want are the ones that you're not suited to serve and perform the best whatever for.
Yeah.
Right. Like absolutely. Learn how to say no, learn how to say next, learn how to move on. There is someone out there that does that, but you, because here's the thing is if you tell people that you will deliver and you can't, they're not going to stick around. So you're wasting their time and your time. That's not going to turn into anything meaningful. And like, you know, like you can, like I said, you can, you want valuable long-term relationships and not delivering or not communicating, or I don't know, like you can sell without selling out. It's, I do it every day. So like, what are your core principles? Where does your customer loyalty come from? And know what people want. Look, if you're providing the services or trying to sell something, you're in the business of proving that you can do it, not the other way around.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So yeah. What's something that you've run into in the past where you've just like someone, like a situation or something where someone just implodes that trust factor like immediately?
I think a lot of time it's communication and follow up, right? You ask people to do things and they just don't do them, or they have excuses, or just goes on, and you just kind of lose faith in them. You're like, I just can't trust them to deliver what I need them to do. Not sure this is somebody I want to partner with. You know, if they don't carry, they're part of it.
I agree with that, and I feel exactly the same. And then if I feel like someone's bullshitting me or wasting my time, I'm done. Like I hate, like I think that, and maybe I'm just turning into a cranky old man.
Yes.
But well, I'm doing that anyway. Yeah. But but for me, like my biggest pet peeve anymore is when I feel like people are wasting my time.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, and that's just because time is, you know, like it's finite. I can't make more of it. So I have to arbitrage what the best use of my time is. And I think that that's like, whether you're a software platform or a product or anything, that's why I like quick, easy, convenient onboarding. Like, can I get you in quickly and conveniently? Because if not, I'm wasting your time. And some of that too, it's like, you can even go to the fullscale.io site. I mean, parts of it are say, like, what do we do and what do we not do? Because I can tell you up front, like, we don't do short-term engagements. If you need help for 30 days, we're not the right place for you. If you need help from one person part-time, we're not the place for you. It's not that I don't want to see you be successful. That's just not what we do. Matt, you say a lot when it comes to products, services, especially software. Like I've heard you say, I can hear you echoing it in my head. Oh, well, this just isn't what this is made to do.
Yeah. And you get distracted by it, right? I mean, you talk about full scale. We've done some of this in the past. We're like, okay, yeah, we do a little bit of this, we do a little bit of that. And it's like, why do we do this if it's like 1% of our effort? It's like just a distraction.
It's more like 90% of the effort and 1% of the revenue.
And we have this problem, you know, at Stackify and Netreo and lots of software companies, right? Where you easily get distracted by things and you never accomplish what your end goal is, because you keep getting distracted by other random things that come up every single day.
So there's another thing related to trust, which is compassion, right? Like, and we were alluding to this at the beginning of the episode. Hey, look, I know that you've had problems with this in the past, and I empathize with that. I had problems with it too. That's actually why I built this business, this service, this product, is to help you not have that problem in the future. And that's compassion and empathy and selling all in one. Cause that will ring. I literally talked to a full scale sales prospect earlier today who looked at our website where it says, we have built this company. This company was built by founders for founders. And the guy said that to me three different times. He said, look, I love this message because I have a problem. I haven't found other people that solve it. And I want to work with people that get me, get what we're trying to accomplish, and want to help me win.
Yep. Absolutely.
Enough said. But that comes from some of that begins with the messaging of saying, hey, I get you. I understand what you've been through, what you're doing. And that leads to the, like the final thing about trust, which is just that basic competency. Are you competent?
Like sometimes.
Okay, but dude, it is unbelievable how many people are out there repping competency that are nowhere close.
Well, and even if you think about for a second, just your employees that you have in your own company, how much you trust your own employees is really the speed at which your business can move, right? Like if you don't trust whoever it is on your team, it makes it so much difficult, more difficult for your business to do things quickly and grow and all that. And it's the same thing with the vendors you deal with, right? If it's a vendor that's super critical to the success of your company, you've got to have a lot of trust in them.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I mean, that's back to convenience and headaches. And I got to tell you what, I'm telling you, if you can find a way to sell peace of mind, you're going to win. It all comes down to peace of mind, man. It really, like in the end, like I've been a super salesperson forever. And like really 25 or so, or however many years later, like that is really like my thesis statement, like find a way to sell peace of mind and benefits and you win and you win. Yep. Like what's the peace of mind that Stackify offers, Matt?
Letting you know if you have problems with your software, like it's not performing well and customers aren't happy and all that sort of stuff. I mean, otherwise you don't know. You don't know what you don't know.
And that's,
so we just tell you.
Like, and that's, hey, and that's delivered for a very reasonable price. Yep. Every month.
Yep.
If not even free.
Very inexpensive.
Right. Right. So, I mean, overall, like that's it. All right. So what do you, you know, we mentioned some of these, like we kind of went through like the reasons that people buy or the people that want to do business with you. Like, let's talk a little bit because they gave us a pretty broad overview here. So what we're talking as if why people choose you, why should anyone choose you? We made the assumption that we were talking only about selling or using services. What about people that want to come work at your startup?
Yeah. And that's a big part of it too, right? You've got to convince people that may have a cushy corporate job somewhere with great benefits and stock plans and bonuses or whatever, right? To come work for your little startup that has a pretty good chance of failing. That's hard to do. Let's be honest.
Yeah. So, and here's the thing is you need to assume that nobody understands anything about your business. So I was trying to recruit someone the other day and he asked me, "What, you guys have insurance, right?" "We have 225 employees. Yes, we have insurance, like all different kinds of it." But, you know, and so, but my thought with that, like, I actually like sat back after that. And I thought at first I was like, wow, that's a weird question. You know, I have hundreds of employees. Of course we do. Right. But the thing was, is that when I sat back and thought about it, I was like, man, like I didn't really present or sell that well. Because if you're asking that fundamentally elementary question about what we're doing, that's probably me not framing it well, right? So part of what you need to keep in mind if you're starting your own tech company or your own business is there are a hell of a lot of mega competitors out there that are probably offering more.
Oh, yeah.
Better benefits. I mean, whatever it is. Well, whatever it is.
You've heard me lots of times joke about, you know, I'd hate to be in Silicon Valley where the best people I can hire were the rejects from Google and Facebook and Apple and everybody else, right? Because they're just going to pay way more and provide more stock options and all that. And well, now we work in a remote world where everybody can work for anybody. And yeah, those companies are recruiting away from you nationwide now. So yeah, it's crazy.
So now pre-pandemic, I had just gone, I was just out in the Valley and we went and visited some past Startup Hustle guests and did a lot of different things. We went to TechCrunch and I actually asked, I recorded some shows out there and I actually asked the guests, I said, how do you compete for talent out here? And I actually got responses that I wasn't expecting because much like you mentioned, you think a lot of these people want to go work at Google or Facebook or whatever. And actually a lot of the people that I talked to said they found the opposite. Like there wasn't a lot of passion around solving the problem of helping people post a picture of a slice of pizza.
Yeah, sure.
On a newsfeed. So, but that might be the reason why people come work for you. Like, hey, do you want to solve meaningful problems and do it in a way that you can grow? So it's not always about the benefits or the size of the company. Sometimes it's about the mission, but yeah, that has a lot to do. So if you solve a specific problem, like a specific issue, especially one that people are passionate about, that could very well be the reason or one of the reasons that people want to choose you.
Absolutely.
Like it's meaningful. Like you, and the things that people are passionate about. Didn't one of your sales people that was a pilot go to work for a,
yes. Yes, he did.
Dude's passionate about it. Every time I talked to him, we were talking about flying.
Yeah.
Flying planes. I see him on Facebook but that's the thing. Yeah. He could have probably gone and worked at Cerner, which is a huge company here, or Garmin, or like who knows, or stayed there, but he got around something he was passionate about, and that is really, really interesting.
And had another previous employee that worked in IT. He was like a software developer and went to work for chess.com because guess what? He loves chess. Yep. And I mean, and that's the thing in the early stage, like when you also can't afford the biggest salaries and stuff and the best benefits, if you can recruit people in that are passionate about what your company does and the problem you're trying to solve and try to get them in on the long-term vision of it, you'll be a lot better off.
So for those of you that are unaware, I worked in and around the music industry for almost a decade. And Matt, I would run into people all the time that were like, so I worked for Roland, and that's the world's largest maker of electronic musical instruments. And that was a marquee place to work. And there's people that like wouldn't have ever quit their job there ever. Like they could have probably come and been like, okay, we're cutting everyone's pay in half. And those people still would have stayed because it's hard to get in a spot to get, like, if you want to nerd out and play with all that stuff and deal with it, like, and that's your life, then the pay and the benefits become pretty secondary.
Yep.
Because there really, really is a lot to be said. And so I was in sales, I would always, people would be like, oh, well, this or this, but hey, you could be selling plastic.
Yeah,
you know, and that was always like my default. It's like I wouldn't have ever wanted to wake up and known like my job every day was to sell the one thing that is truly polluting the planet. Right. So because it wouldn't have just felt very redeeming. So like I knew all kinds of people. And so then I went from the music industry to event ticketing. Do you know how many, dude, there were so many people that worked for teams and venues. Like they were just like, okay, so like our rep at the Kansas City Royals, that dude just loves baseball and he's huge Royals fan. Like, so that's a huge upside. That's why I choose this job.
Yep.
And if you can, now guess what? That passion shows. That
we had a lot of this
shows
at Stackify too.
Yeah.
Because we built a product for software developers. So software developers like to work at Stackify because it's more
solving problems,
than building healthcare software. Or,
you know, or selling plastic.
Or selling plastic.
Yeah. Or selling plastic. No one wants to sell plastic. I mean,
just the oil company.
So maybe, but no one wakes up and they're like, shit, I got to find a way to sell more oil. I mean, they do, but the driver for that is a huge commission check or paycheck or something. Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be one or the other. All right. So Matt, did you know that today's episode of Startup Hustle was brought to you by Fullscale.io?
I did.
That's all I need to say. Check it out. We talked a lot about Fullscale, so I won't make a big ad read out of that. But you want life to be fast, easy, convenient when it comes to building qualified teams of software developers, go to Fullscale.io. A couple things. Thank you for people that have recently reached out to just say hi and hello. If you want to interact with us and participate with other entrepreneurs and yet another community created for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs, come on over and find us in the Facebook chat group, the Startup Hustle chat. Just go to Facebook, type in Startup Hustle. You can find us. In which I may later today post a poll about whether I should continue to not get a haircut or just shave my head, because I got to do one or the other. It's getting pretty bad either way. So Matt, we're here at the end of the episode. We like to end with the founder's freestyle, and you know, I want to point out, go check out Andrew Morgan's from Marknology talking about Amazon and e-commerce, and go listen to the episodes from one of my personal heroes, Lauren Conaway, who tackles tough issues that she's really good at tackling. So thank you for that, Lauren. Matt, what are your takeaways from today's episode? Like, what's your favorite stuff?
Well, so in regards to if I've got a tech business and I'm trying to get people to do business with me, and why should they do business with me? I mean, I definitely am a big fan of the speed and the customer service part of it, right? Like, kind of bending over backwards to give people amazing customer service, you know, even the sales process, all of it, right? Caring about their problem, trying to help them. I mean, in some sense, I'm like really lucky that anybody gives a shit about whatever I built. So I'm going to bend over backwards to work with them and do things quickly. They say, oh, well, we needed the product to do X. We needed the product to do Y, whatever. Like, you got to move quickly and really build that trust and relationship with them. And that's how it's all got to work. And as we talked a lot about earlier about trust and all these things, and you just got to get your foot in the door, and you got to work fast and hard to try and keep it in the door, and be grateful that they're even helping you at all.
So you saying that just made me write down something that I felt like we didn't hit on. You got to make people feel important.
Yeah.
So what you just mentioned, like being responsive, doing things quickly and with priority, or at a minimum, communicating when you will and then doing it, doesn't mean you have to drop everything you're doing every time. Like, it can be as simple as, hey, Matt, I understand this is an important problem. I have to finish this, and then I'm going to do this, which is solve your problem. Like, that kind of communication can do it. But nothing, if I don't feel important, or that you give a shit about my problem, which is pretty much saying I'm not important or the problem isn't important to solve, you're not going to get a whole lot of business. So that's a good way to kind of ruin a relationship. Now, one other thing I wanted to add in, and have you heard of the term the trust equation?
I don't know. I don't think so.
So this is referred to the trust equation. And I found a little simple summary of it. The trust equation says an individual's trustworthiness is equal to their credibility, reliability, and intimacy, all divided by their level of self-orientation. Individuals can develop their trustworthiness by addressing these underlying trust factors. So those are like the things, like you have credibility, but credibility without reliability, the whole equation falls apart. Okay. And that intimacy feel is that like vulnerability or that transparency, or saying like, hey, I'll be the first person to tell you if there's something that I don't think we can do, because I don't want to let you down. Right. That's intimate. That's empathetic. That's beginning to tell you. So if these things don't exist, you can like, okay, so if you, anything times zero is zero, right?
Yep.
So you can put a zero in any multiplication equation and it's going to come out to be zero. It's the way it goes. So trust is the same way. There's multiple parts of it, but that credibility and reliability are the two fundamental things in there that if you lose either one or can't establish either one, it's over. So if you want people to choose you, that's where to start. Yeah,
absolutely. No? It's all about trust.
I overwhelmed Matt right there. He was just looking off to the side. Oh, then I realized he was daydreaming. He was. I thought that the trust. Well,
I was thinking about something. You were talking about zero times zero. Did you know that what is zero to the power of zero?
No,
it's not zero.
Is it zero? Is it still zero?
No, it's one.
Zero to the zeroth power. I didn't even know that was one. A thing.
Yeah, you learned something new today.
There's so much about math I don't understand, because it's like a negative times a negative is a positive. But in every situation where I see a negative in business, and then I take it and I cross pollinate it or multiply it times another negative problem, it doesn't end up positive. No, and it usually just ends up like 100 times worse. So I'm thinking about redoing math, because you know, you get to reinvent math every 20 years now, right?
Yeah. Because
that my kids come home with homework, I realize that I don't know how to do math anymore. Yeah. And by the way, if anyone wants to reach out, you know, there's one other thing. I need someone to create fan art of Matt Watson. So whoever delivers that to me, however you find it, you are going to be in the Startup Hustle Hall of Fame. So if you're still listening and you know how to create fan art of Matt Watson, do it. Matt, I think that's a perfect way to end this show. I'll see you next week.
Thanks, everybody.
Startup Hustle is brought to you by Fullscale.io, helping you build a software team quickly and affordably. Make sure you reach down and hit that subscribe button, then come find us on Instagram. See you next time.